All right, turn to your neighbor and say, let's get ready to rumble! Come on, there you go. You can do a little better than that. Some of you are like, I don't even want to attempt that, man. Well, today we're in the third part of the series we started on Easter. We've called it Creed because we've been using some of the clips from this movie to illustrate some kingdom principles that we've been bringing out. We didn't say that this was a Christian movie, but what we are saying is there's some great illustrations in this movie that help us visualize some kingdom principles that the Father wants us to get. Jesus used very much stories, and when he was teaching the gospel, when he was teaching about the kingdom of God, Jesus always taught in a visual way where people could understand, and he taught stories that they could understand at that time about kingdom principles. And we're doing the same thing here in this series. We're using some clips to kind of pull out some kingdom principles. Now, the first 2 weeks, of course, the first week, we talked about the resurrection and the power of winning that fight. And then this week, last week we talked about, do you know who you are? Do you know who you really are? And we talked about last week a lot about the identity crisis that really is facing the church today. That many people do not know that they have a spiritual father. That's what we talked about the first week. But last week we talked about there's many people who have a spiritual father, know they have a spiritual father, but they're not operating in that. They have an identity crisis because you think that everything in the Bible is for everybody else but you. You think that, well, this grace thing is great, but it's only for everybody else. I'm really not good enough. And remember me saying last week that Satan, he can do nothing to take away my spiritual authority, but if he can get me to doubt who I really am, if he can steal my identity away from me, and then he takes away the power of my spiritual authority. And so we have got to realize who our Father is, the spiritual authority that comes with that, and realize who you are in Christ. And we're realizing that. Johnson was in the backside and Creed was on the front. Remember last week when we left you off in the story? As he embraced his name, he embraced who his Father was, and that's who was out in front. And the old man was behind him, and he was walking anew. Now this week, we're going to talk about how to keep on fighting, how to keep fighting. How many of you ever felt like, you know what, Pastor, I just can't fight anymore? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in your life where you say, you know what, I just can't fight anymore in my life? Have you ever felt that way? I can tell you, I felt that way in my life before where I've gone through things and I felt like, man, I don't know if I have the energy. I don't know if I have the power. I don't think I have the faith, the fight anymore in my life. I think we all go through that season. And today we're going to talk about how to keep fighting. Now, let's pick it back up in our story today. Now, Rocky, we find out in the story. Of course, Rocky is sought out by Adonis, who is Apollo Creed's son. And Rocky is at the place in his life where he's already fought the champion. Remember, he's already beat Apollo Creed. He's beat Mr. T, Hulk Hogan, and the Russian. Come on now. Rocky's been through a lot, and he's trained fighters, and he's come out of retirement several times. And so now later on, this story picks up. We see where Rocky is at the point where his wife has passed away, and his best friend, her brother, his brother-in-law, passed away as well. And you remember Polly? Polly, you remember Polly? Rocky was always looking out for Polly. Rocky was always trying to get Polly to think better of himself and always trying to give him a job and trying to get him to leave the bottle. Remember that? And always trying to get him to put his faith in hard work and make something of himself. Come on, Polly, don't be a bum. You're a bum. Don't you remember that scene? I'm not a bum. Anyway, he called him a bum and got him to get him out of himself. But now Polly's dead. Adrian's dead, and he's decided he's just retired from boxing. He doesn't go back to the gym. He won't train anybody else. He won't go around boxing anymore. He's content with just living out the last few years of his life in his little restaurant, just serving some Italian food, coming and going, and very little fanfare, and just surviving the rest of his days. Very much becomes included in himself and is shutting out the world pretty much. And here comes Adonis, and Adonis is like, man, you got to train me. Rocky, I need you to train me. You're one of the best ever. You're one of the greatest champions. And if anybody knows where I'm at, it's you. You got to train me. I have nobody to train me. I need you to train me, and you owe this to me because my father came to you at one of your lowest points, and he encouraged you, and he trained you. So at least you can do is come and train me and help me out. And Rocky's like, kid, I don't do that no more. Leave me alone. But we see now where Rocky is going through his schedule of the week, and we find him going to the graveyard. Let's pick the scene up in Rocky's life.
Okay, here we go, Polly. Happy birthday, my friend. I didn't forget you. Your favorite. Miss you, pal. Go, Adrian, my darling. That's the best. Hey, Adrian, God. Getting harder to walk up this hill. What does that mean? Anyway, it's a good day today. It's a good day. Got no problems. Bills are paid. The only thing is, it's tough to sleep at night. Sometimes my back. No matter what you do, it catches up to you. Anyway, shall we see what's new in the world today? Hey, Pete, what's up?
Didn't know you were coming back.
So we see Rocky decides, he makes a very important decision. He decides to leave the graveyard and to get back to the ring. He walks into the gym. First time he'd been back to mixed gym in a long time. First time in years he decided to go back. You see, for many of us, though, we're stuck at the graveyard. For many people in this room, you've given up the fight. Look what Ecclesiastes 3 says. Ecclesiastes 3 was very clear, and it says that there is a time for everything. And a what? Everybody say season. Season. Come on, take it. Say season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And we find this scripture to say that for everything there is a season. And the reason why this is important, because too many of us have allowed seasons to go from seasons to year after year after year after year after year. And something as a Christian, we have been given the power to walk through our difficult seasons. Is it okay to mourn? Yes, it very much is. It's a very much needed process. When we lose things, when we're disappointed, when we lose lost loved ones close to us, it's okay to mourn and to have seasons of mourning. And when that person was really close to you, sometimes that season is a long time. It's okay to weep. For some of you here, you've lost someone close to you, and you found yourself in a season of mourning for a long, long time. Other people here, you've had other things, not necessarily someone close to you die, but you've had someone who come along and they hurt you. They destroyed your heart. They killed your dream. They shattered your hope. And you find yourself hanging out in that mourning place year after year. after year after year. Season after season after season. You find yourself hanging out in the place of mourning. And we know this to be very true, that in the Christian's life there is a season for mourning and weeping. But there's also a season to be reborn. There's also a season to rebuild. There's also a season to laugh again. There's also a season to dance again. And at some point in your life, as a believer, you're going to decide, am I going to stay here day after day and keep coming back to the graveyard? Will I choose to come back and sit at the place I was hurt? Will I choose to sit back at this place where I lost greatly in my life and come and be here every day? Are you saying, Pastor, we shouldn't mourn loved ones? No. There's nothing wrong with doing that and going and putting flowers on graves and honoring their memory. I'm all for that. That's a very healthy thing. But when we come day after day and we can never move beyond this point, we're limiting what God wants to do in our life. God wants you to be able to have a new vision to get up and fight again. He wants to take your broken heart and He wants to restore it. He wants to take lost hope and give you new hope. He wants to take things that have been dead and bring them back to life in your life. He wants to take away your tears and make it into dancing and laughing once again. But only God can do that. But you got to allow Him. And some people, we just come and we sit day after day and we always go back and visit that hurt, that rejection, that abuse. We come back and we visit it time after time and time again, and we never move beyond it. See, Jesus said this in John. Look what He says. He says, I came, man. John 10:10. A thief comes. Satan comes to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He goes, but I've come that they may have what? Life. And they may have it more abundantly. God has come this morning, and He has sent me to speak over your life and to tell you that He has come to give you life. And your life was never intended to be a permanent place at the graveyard mourning all the days of your life. There is a season. But it's also a new season that He can do in your life when He can begin to rebuild things in your life. But you're going to have to let Him. Are you going to get back up and fight? Are you going to stay in that graveyard? Are you going to get back up? See, you've allowed someone to steal from you. You've allowed someone to kill your dream. You've allowed things to happen that really set you back, and you're living your life right there, and the world's passing you by. The world's going by. People who are needing your love, people who are needing your hope, people who are needing your touch, people who are needing your words, people who are needing your smile, people who are needing your laugh, people who are needing your hands and feet to be Jesus, are passing by you every day, and you can't get your head out of the grave to look up and see what God wants to do in your life. That's not the plan that God's got for your life. But I'm here to declare that it is time for you to leave the graveyard. Matter of fact, today, if that's you, and you're in this room, say, Pastor, I've been stuck at that place a long time. I've been stuck in my graveyard a long time. I've been stuck mourning hurt. I've been stuck mourning this thing. I've been stuck mourning this loss. If that's you, I want you just to stand up where you're at right now. I want to pray for you. Come on, just stand up where you're at right now. I'm going to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for that person right now. Several people standing up this morning saying, God, I need to move beyond where I'm at. Lord, I pray right now, the Father, in the name of Jesus, I call them beyond the place of mourning. I call them beyond that graveyard. And Father, I'm speaking new life to them. I'm speaking new life to their marriage. I'm speaking new life, Lord, to their heart today. I'm speaking new life to their spirit today. That God, they're going to leave that place of hurt and rejection. They're going to leave that place. And Father, they're going to walk in a new season. I declare a new season. I declare a new season over their life. May the Spirit of God bring forth a new season in their life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise today. God is wanting you and I to leave that place, to pick our head and say, all right, God, that's a season. And sometimes they are long seasons. Man, when you have tough loss, I understand. But I love that Scripture says that at the end of the book, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, it says that there's going to come a day that God will wipe away what? Every tear from our eye. He said there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more sadness. But right now, we'll have seasons of crying. Right now, we'll have seasons of mourning. But he says that he always promises that he would return the joy to us. He would return purpose and life to us if we'll just pick our head up and say, God, I'm ready to get up. God, I'm ready to start climbing my way out of this mess. God, I'm ready. I'm ready to laugh again. God, I'm ready to smile again. Some of you, you've suffered loss and you've given up. No. Remember me talking about the table? Some of you used to be in the chair 3. Well, you gave out, but you quit giving out. It's time for you to say, you know what, God, I got to get back in. I got to train some more young fighters. I got to train. I've got children and grandchildren that need me to step up and to be rock solid in my faith and see how God can restore my joy again. I got coworkers and neighbors and friends that are looking to me. I got people here at the church that I need to be solid for, and I need to step up and encourage them. And you can't do that when you're stuck there. You got to get up. Now, let's keep on with the story. Now, we see in the story where Rocky's like, you know what? I'm not going to train you, kid. I've trained everybody. You know, and finally he gives in. And Adonis has been running on his own. Adonis has been training on his own. Adonis has been fighting on his own. And finally Rocky decides he'll show up at the gym. And he decides he's going to talk to the kid about training him. Let's pick up this thing right here.
I'll talk to you in a minute. No, I don't even know what I'm doing here, because I got other plans in my life, and this wasn't part of it. Your father was special. I'll tell you the truth, I don't know if he's special. Only you're going to know that when the time is right. And it ain't going to come overnight. You're going to take a beat, you're going to take this, you're going to get knocked out, you're going to get up, and you're going to see if you got the right thing. But you got to work hard. I swear to God, if you're not going to do it, I'm out.
Like every punch I ever thrown has been on my own. Nobody showed me how to do this. I'm ready.
Come on, let's do this. Step into my office.
See, I come from Mississippi.
I am serious. This is old school. You should be able to grab one of these birds.
30 seconds?
Ended up in New York City. These dreams.
Well, I had my first.
Come on, you call that fast?
I named the boy Nasir. All the boys call him Nas.
I thought you were fast. Get them legs moving.
A little harder, a little faster. Keep up the pace. Keep going.
Hey, Tiberi of his rap skit. Styles I mastered. Many brothers snatched it up and tried to match it. But I'm still number one every day, real.
What I want, I don't care. Bill Slowly.
Bill, go! Mississippi did it like Miles and Dizzy. Now we're getting busy, bridging the gap from the blues and jazz to rap. The history of music.
That bell don't mean school's out, Donnie. Keep going.
So Rocky steps up and says, kid, I'll train you. But I love the first thing he tells him. Before he ever starts to train him, you know what he says? He says, you're going to get knocked down, but you got to be willing to get back up. And somewhere along the line, we've painted this picture of Christianity that, man, you give your heart to God and you'll never get knocked down. And that's just so untrue. I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? I want to be like Rocky. I want to tell you the spiritual truth when it comes to the kingdom of God. There's times in your life you're going to get hit hard. And you're going to get knocked down. But the true test of faith is whether you'll get back up. Look what Scripture says. Jesus made it very clear in John 16:33. He says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart. Be of good courage, because why? I've overcome the world. And so he made it very clear. Jesus said it very clear. On earth, we're going to have a lot of trials. We're going to have a lot of sorrows. We're going to get into the ring. Remember I talked about over the last few weeks. You know, we can come over here and train all we want. And we can punch on this bag all we want. And that bag is not punching back. But when you get in the real fight, the fight of life, life will hit back. And that hurts many times. And many times you'll get knocked down. Sometimes you get knocked out. But the question is, not how many times you get knocked down. The real test of faith is how many times will you get back up? Because even though I fall 100 times, I'm going to keep getting back up. I'm going to keep getting back up. Why? Because God has already overcame the world. And so how do I get back up? How do I keep getting back up when I get knocked down? It's a principle that we've all got to realize. And at some point, I will tell you this, a part of spiritual maturity, of you growing in Christ, is you learning how to encourage yourself in the Lord. It's all right to come to church and to get encouraged with the corporate gathering like this. This is what it's for. We gather together, encouraging each other, singing together, encouraging one another. It builds my spirit up. But there's something about when you get knocked down and there ain't nobody around to pick you up, that you get knocked down and you say this. Bam, life knocks you down, but you say, God, today I begin to encourage myself in the Lord. God, I thank you that you are greater than any battle I face. God, I thank you that even though I'm knocked down, I'm not knocked out. Because I know this, that God, you are on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? God, if I'm on your side, then I'm on the winning side. And you begin to encourage yourself. I mean, David was great at this, wasn't he? And King David, remember him many times in his life when he was being sought after. Saul was trying to kill him. And he could get hardly anybody to follow him. He had to stop and encourage himself in the Lord. Many times even his own men turned on him. And they were ready to kill him. And it says David would go out and he would encourage himself in the Lord. He began to fight on himself. God, I'm going to fight. Why has that happened? Because God makes it very clear in Scripture. We see in Psalm 62 that God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. What's that mean? That means when I let a praise out, that God comes and he enthrones. He surrounds me. He sits, he abides in the praises of his people. So if I'm knocked down, I say, God, I praise you for you are great. God, I praise you that even though I'm going through a tough situation, God, I praise you even though I'm facing fear. God, I praise you even though I didn't get the report I wanted. God, I praise you even though I feel rejected. God, I praise you even though I don't feel at my best. God, I praise you anyway because you are great. Let me tell you, anybody can praise God when things are going great. Anybody can praise God when things are going great. I mean, when the bank account's full, when the doctor report's great, when the house is full. I mean, people, we can praise God all day long when good things are happening. But the true test of character and faith is, can you praise God on your darkest day? Can you trust God in spite of your pain, in spite of your mourning season, in spite of what you're going through? Can you pick your head up and say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. God, I'm going to encourage myself in you. Sometimes you wait on somebody else to come and encourage you, and sometimes that happens, but other times it doesn't. Sometimes you just got to get up and pull your big boy pants on and say, you know what? As for me and myself and I, we're going to praise the Lord. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one. And sometimes you got to make that car a place of personal encouragement. You got to make that time at home when you're getting ready of your own place of personal encouragement. That time when the kids aren't around and you're just crying out to God. Man, take advantage of that. This is how we fight. This is how we get back up, that we encourage ourselves through praising the Lord on our own. And we reach out to God on our own. This is what David did so often. We see in Psalm 61 where David made it very clear. Remember, he was being chased and he was feeling an attack of the enemy. He says, hear my cry, oh God. Can you imagine David? Listen to my prayer, God. From the ends of the earth, I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. But look what he says. But lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my enemy. I mean, there's a place that comes out of you that when you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord and cry out to God in the middle of your despair, that God does something in your spirit that begins to click. There's a spiritual maturity that begins to happen. There's something that happens on the inside that's happening, changing you from the inside out. It's a spirit of boldness, a spirit of faith, and I can't give it to you. You're going to have to learn to reach out and take it for yourself. Paul and Silas, remember when they were in prison, shackled up. It says in the midnight hour, chained up in prison. In the midnight hour, when it's the darkest, at its darkest, they begin to let out a praise. And so they begin to sing praises to God. And in the middle of the praise, it says the chains fell off of them. The prison doors swung open. The prison guards fell to their knees. Why? Because they begin to praise the Lord in spite of their trouble, in spite of their circumstances, in spite of how dark it looked. They praise God anyway. Sometimes you just got to look ahead in your midnight hour and say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. Even when I don't see the light, I'm going to praise you anyway. Even when I don't feel anybody else encourage me, I'm going to praise you anyway. Even when I feel all shackled up, even when I feel like this walls are closing in on me, God, I'm going to praise you anyway and let out a praise. Sometimes it's a silly praise. I can tell you that sometimes if you would see me by myself, you would think I've lost it at times. But sometimes I just get to my breaking point, and I just got to give God a crazy praise in my home. I just got to give God a crazy praise in my car. And man, I'm praising the Lord, and I'm driving down the road, and people looking at my car like, well, this guy has lost it. All they can see me is doing this. They don't know inside my car I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. We can do this, okay? And this is how we fight, that we begin to encourage ourselves through the praises, praising the Lord, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Now, this next scene we see, we're Rocky now. Rocky in the store, we find out later, after he starts to train them and they book the big fight, he's going to fight the champion. Rocky finds out shortly after that Rocky has got cancer. And so Rocky begins to say, you know what, I'm not going to take treatment. I'm tired of fighting, I'm tired of living, I miss my loved ones, I'm just ready to give up. And he goes back and tells Adonis, say, Adonis, I'm not going to do anything else. I'm not going to train you anymore, I can't be there for you. Adonis finds out, he's like, hey man, why don't you fight? Why don't you get treatment, man? I'll go with you and help you. He's like, no kid, you don't realize I'm done. He's like, you can't walk out on me, we're family. And Rocky's feeling sorry for himself, he's like, we're not really family. You know, so let me go, kid, let me go off my own world and I'm just going to crawl over in my hole, basically, and die. And so Adonis, feeling rejected from Rocky, and of course, had already felt abandoned from his own father who died before he was ever born. And so now Adonis is just feeling like, man, my world's falling apart. Nope, everyone I trust in but hurts me or abandons me or it's not there for me. And so shortly after that, he gets in a fight with somebody who's mouthing off to him, and he gets arrested, and he's spending the night in jail. And Rocky shows up and tries to talk to him, and Adonis is very mad and hurt and tells Rocky to leave him. But look what Rocky has to say to him.
Leave! You ain't talking like you my family. You got my real family killed.
I ain't leaving till I tell you what's on my mind. You hate me, that's what it is. Or maybe you're mad with somebody laying here dying who can't defend himself. No. Now I understand what you're going through, young man. I swear I've been there. And I know what it's like. Feel abandoned. I mean, mad and everything. And you're a better person than that. Forgive him. Because there's nothing you can do about it. It's taking a toll on you. You're still caught in the shadow. Gotta move, Donnie.
Just leave, man. Mm.
So Rocky confronts the real problem in Adonis's life. The real problem is this, that Adonis had not forgiven people who had disappointed him in his life. He'd never truly forgiven his father for dying before he was born. He'd never forgiven people who had hurt him in his past, and Rocky confronts that and says, you're going to have to learn to forgive your father, son. If you want all this anger to leave you, you want all this bitterness to leave you, you're going to have to forgive your dad. Let me tell you this. There's never a time as a Christian, there's never a time in our life when we become more Christ-like. Look at this. You will never be more Christ-like than when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it. Never a moment in your life will you be more like Christ than when you forgive someone who doesn't deserve it or ask for it. And it's hard. Because we have people who have hurt us. We have people who have disappointed us. We have people who have abused us. We have people who have spoken evil against us. We have people who have rejected you. And you've got all this pent-up anger. Whether it's the dad who never showed up, or it's the person who hurt you, abused you. We got all this anger pinned up. And it's keeping us from fighting the fight of life. It's keeping us from getting out there being the true champion that God's called us to be. Because we got all this bitterness and unforgiveness we're harboring in our heart. You see, Pastor TJ, come here. When we allow unforgiveness and bitterness to rule our life, what we're essentially doing is this. We're allowing these things to tie our hands. We're allowing these things to come and to keep us bound. And so we're in the fight of life, and this is the way we look. We're trying to be the champion that God's called us to be. We can't even defend ourselves or do anything because our hands are tied, because we've tied our hands by not forgiving people. We've allowed bitterness to set in, and it ties our hands, and we're not effective. We're out of the game. If we do anything at all, we make it to the graveyard. That's about it. We feel sorry for ourselves. And I'm not saying that the person that you forgive deserves to be forgiven. But more than likely, that person has gone on. If they're still alive, that's hurt you. They're living their life. They've remarried. They're laughing. They got joy. They could care less about what you're doing in your life. That person who hurt you could care less. They're out living their life, and you're still stuck here at the graveyard, that memory, allowing yourself through bitterness and unforgiveness to keep you from fully becoming the champion that God wants you to be. But see, when you choose to forgive, even though they don't ask for it or deserve it, you're not choosing to forgive for them. What you're saying is, I forgive you so that I can be free. That's the power of forgiveness. I'm not forgiving you for you. I'm forgiving you for me. What I'm saying is, you're in God's hands. I'm forgiving you even though you don't ask for it or even care about it. I'm forgiving you. I'm placing you in God's hands. And I'm saying, God, I'm giving this burden to you from now on. I'm giving my bitterness to you from now on. God, I'm giving my hurt to you. And God, you take it. I'm going to walk in forgiveness as much as I can. And I'm going to untie myself from that chain, from that rope of bitterness and unforgiveness that's keeping me from becoming the champion that God's destined for me to be. See, it's the principle we find all throughout Scripture. We see one verse right here in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave us. And this is the same principle you'll find Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. We'll see this principle of forgiving one another, forgiving each other, all through Scripture. It's the principle that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. And so I never become more like Christ than when I forgive somebody who doesn't deserve it. You're not saying what they did was okay, but what you're saying is this: I'm not going to be a prisoner any longer. I'm taking off that chain. Some of you have been hurt very deeply in this room. Some of you have been rejected very deeply in this room. Some of you have been abused very deeply in this room. Many of us will never, ever understand the level of pain you've gone through in your life. The promise I'm making to you today is this: if you'll say, God, I'm giving it to you. I'm releasing this unforgiveness to you. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm releasing them to you. And I'm not going to carry this burden anymore. I'm giving this over to you. See if God has begun to set you free. As a matter of fact, right now, if you're carrying that around, you say, Pastor, I've been carrying around some hurt and unforgiveness, bitterness in my life. Today, I want to let it go. I'm ready to let it go. Stand on your feet right now. I want to pray for you right now where you're at. Just stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person standing right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for every heart that's been hurt. I pray for every person that has suffered hands of abuse, rejection, deep hurts. Father, many people have carried around for years. And I pray today that, Father, we are saying, God, we're tired of carrying this thing alone. And right now, Father, we are releasing them to you. We're releasing unforgiveness to you. We're saying, Father, take it out of our heart. God, we release them to you. God, we release the bitterness to you. We release the pain to you. We release the abuse to you. Father, no longer to be a slave to that memory. No longer to be a slave. But Father, we're getting back up. That was a season of pain. But God, we are walking in a new season. Well, we're going to laugh again. We're going to trust again. We're going to rebuild again. We're going to smile again. Father, we're going to be effective in ministry again. God, I pray a new season, Father, of healing that's flowing across this room today. Healing, God, of hearts and minds. Healing, God, of spirits of rejection. Spirits of hurt, Father, right now are being healed in the name of Jesus as they're releasing them to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over every person standing today a spirit of healing, healing, Father, over those hurts. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Come on, stand. Everybody stand to your feet this morning. Let's give God praise. Come on, join me. Let's give God praise. So what are we going to do next? This is what happens now as we close out the service. First of all, you got to say, you know what? I'm ready to get back into the ring. I'm going to learn to praise God in spite of my storm. And I'm going to forgive and quit letting bitterness rule my life. I'm going to quit being chained up. It's time for me to fight again. It's time for me to live again. It's time for me to move on to a new season and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready, God, to live again. I'm ready to live this life abundantly as you've called me to be. God, I want to discover the champion you called me to be. I'm ready. I'm ready. Are you ready to keep fighting? Come on. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to praise your way. What we say? When you don't feel like it, you praise him anyway. So we're going to close out with a song of praise. I want you to put your hands together and say, God, I'm going to praise you through whatever storm I face. God, I'm going to sing your praises and declare your goodness. Come on.
Come on, put those hands in like this. Come on. Is anybody ready to praise your way out of it? Come on, church. Is anybody ready to praise your way out of it? Now, come on, put those hands together. And some of you want to come down to the front as we close out the service. Come on, we're going to sing out this place.
I'll praise your love. Your rain comes down.
Come on. Come on, church. Let's praise our way. Let's go.
Your rain comes down.
Come on, let's give a spirit of freedom in this place tonight.
Yeah.
Lord today. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Man, I tell you what, I feel so encouraged being with you today. Thank you so much for being here. Let me remind you a couple things before you leave. Don't leave just yet. First of all, if you didn't sign up for the marriage retreat, make sure you do before you leave. Also, next week, we're going to be giving you dates for water baptism. We're going to have a water baptism coming up really soon. A lot of people have given your heart to Christ over the last few weeks. We would love to water baptize you, okay? And so we'll be talking about that more next week. Look for that. I'm going to continue this series next week. I'm not going to use any more of the clips, but I still got some more things I want to talk to you about how we fight, things worth fighting for, okay? God bless you. Glad you were here. You guys have a great week.